Right, so I've just researched this about refusing to go to court from a UK prison cell, and it looks like there's serious consequences. It says here, if you're in prison in the UK, you cannot refuse to attend court for your sentencing or hearing. The court can issue an order for your presence, and refusing to comply can lead to further penalties, including additional prison time. So refusing, ignoring the order, consequences, you've got an extra 2 years in prison for certain offences. While the court may consider reasonable grounds for refusing to attend, such as illness, they will make a determination about whether you should be present. If the court deems your presence necessary, they can instruct the prison to ensure you attend, and that will be by force, like I've seen it in America. Refusing a court order to attend can also be considered contempt of court, leading to further legal action. So it's quite a serious thing. You know, this person must be aware there's going to be consequences to not show his face in court. So what would possibly motivate him to want to risk those consequences, I'm wondering?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, this is all very, very, very murky. And, like, you know, we don't even know how to, we don't even know that, you know, that how their personal connections planned out. But I mean, one thing that I find very, very interesting about this is there is quite clearly an attempt to create a narrative in the media that the arsonists were kind of like just like bumbling freelancers, and that actually that they were, I mean, the implication being that they could easily be led, or I mean, I think I've even seen some references to, as we discussed, Zoolander, you know, the Ben Stiller film where, you know, models are manipulated into serving as terrorists. Now, there was a Daily Telegraph report which stated that it was a few days ago, which referred to how Karpiuch, which is that he's born in Ukraine, although frequently referred to as Romanian, he has lived all over London and allegedly lived with his parents and his girlfriend. Neighbours in you know, a very common manner refer to them as very nice and very quiet, you know, as you know, most serial killers are described by their neighbours. But even more interestingly, there was a, as I mentioned, there was a Telegraph report which stated that Karpiuch, his hairdresser, allegedly interviewed by the Daily Telegraph, said he was Ukrainian and could barely speak English. Now, this is someone who's lived in the UK for 9 years, and during that time got a university diploma from Canterbury Christchurch. Now, you know, as someone who lived in the UK and, you know, Londoner born and bred of 30 years standing, I can say with some confidence that if you can't speak English, you're not going to get very far in the UK personally, professionally or socially, particularly if you live there for 9 years. So that doesn't make any sense. And actually, I think someone who caught our past show reached out to me and showed me a clip I'd not seen before, on Facebook of Karpiuch speaking, pretty good English, in an interview. I mean, this is a total lie. And I might add that the Telegraph states that, Karpiuch, despite his apparent lack of English, capabilities, could speak very good Russian, which again seems like a desperate attempt to link this to Russia on the basis of nothing.
Yeah, you'll have to send me that, of him speaking. I'll be fascinated. So I'll continue this news headline then. For viewers who've just joined us, we've had these guys in court today. Well, at least two of them. One of them refused, but the fourth is out on bail. And the article here says that Larinovich of Lewisham has been charged with 3 counts of arson with intent to endanger life on 8th, 11th, and 12th of May. Karpiuch from Romford, East London, and Petrov, Islington, North London, are each accused of one count of conspiracy to commit arson with intent to endanger life between 17th of April and 13th of May. Two of them appeared at the hearing via video link today from HMP Belmarsh. They only spoke to confirm their identities and dates of birth through an interpreter. And there's actually an artist's impression of one of them. I'll show you what he looks. He looks a lot more gruffer in the artist.
No, I'm reminded of when Maxwell appeared in court. Ghislaine Maxwell, where she was sketching the court artist. It's like kind of like that level of creepy. I have just sent you the video in which Roman Karpiec speaks perfect English via private chat and WhatsApp. So you may want to get that up on screen as proof that they don't need to speak through an interpreter, and that this is again a rather odd data point in the baffling affair.
Is there any way? Well, I'll finish the article. Is there any way you could send that to me by email? It's because that's gone to my phone, but I'm on my PC. Well, I'll finish this article then for the people. So the judge today.
Just done it.
Oh, thanks. It's Ms. Justice Chima Grubb told the court that Pockynock refused to leave his cell for the preliminary hearing. All three defendants are remanded in custody to next appear for a plea and trial preparation hearing at the same court on October 17th. It's the old Bailey, I think. A provisional trial date was set for 27th of April 2026 in front of a High Court judge. The fourth person arrested at Stansted Airport on suspicion of conspiracy to commit arson with intent to endanger life in connection with the incident has been released on bail until July. So two huge red flags here. You know, we've got, if you commit some kind of crime, like you pointed out, the rioters, the protesters, social media posts, they're expediting. They're giving these guys speedy trial dates. You know, but if you commit something, an offence against Keir Starmer, you're going to be buried in the system, you know, where anything can happen to you in the meantime. The news can die out on this. While they assess their options.
Yeah, you might get into a fight in the shower, and something bad might befall you. Now, there is a key issue in this, and I think that we need to approach this carefully because it does contain sensitive private information which the British state may not want in the public domain. But I mean, speaking as a journalist, there are a number of tools that you can use to dig up people's addresses and contact details. I use them myself routinely. They are legal. For free or for a small fee, you can download someone's email address. You can try and dig up their electoral roll records to find their residence or their company's house listings. That's often a source of people's addresses. But what's really interesting is yes, the attack on Starmer's car. It would be very, 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 very difficult via open source records to find out that not only the make and model of Starmer's car, but its license plate. Like that would require either super kind of intelligence agency level hacking or other forms of intelligence collection capability, or it would necessitate foreknowledge of the fact that he drove that car. Now, as we've blacked out the number plate, but this is, as far as I can tell, the only known picture in the public domain of Starmer next to the car that got burned. Okay, and bearing in mind that he allegedly sold this on to a neighbour in late 2022, based on public records, you wouldn't be able to link Starmer to this particular vehicle with much in the way of ease. So it does suggest that the trio of Ukrainian models who allegedly can't speak English, although I think you're about to play the clip of how they totally can, had some pre-existing relationship with Starmer and might have met him one way or another while he was driving that car, or someone behind them did so. And I see that someone's posting on the screen now that they all had Grindr accounts. Yeah, they did. This is another aspect. Their accounts were deleted after they were arrested, just as their modeling accounts were deleted after they were arrested. Who was behind this? We don't know. I'm guessing it wasn't them. So this is very, very, very odd. And I think that at the risk of going beyond, the evidence, going beyond the evidence of, available, which, I don't like to do, you've got to bear in mind that what Starmer was doing during, the pandemic, it remains very opaque. It is very clear that he broke COVID rules with total abandon, and has never really faced much in the way of censure for it. I mean, there was, Boris Johnson referring to him as Sabir Korma, not very funny, because he had a meal with other Labour apparatchiks at a time when there was meant to be social distancing and it was illegal to travel to your own family's homes. But he was also spent a lot of time during lockdown, bizarrely, at the home of his dear friend Lord Ali, the openly gay member of the House of Lords. He also made a video in December 2021 when there was significant restrictions on personal contact and physical activity and doing very much of anything apart from leaving your house in the UK for a brief jog. Starmer produced a Christmas message from the home of Lord Ali. And then when this emerged, he said it was ridiculous to suggest, it was farcical to suggest that he had made this address from his home and there was no reason to believe this. And this is despite the address being made in front of photos of his family and Christmas cards, very much setting that kind of home aesthetic for his Christmas message. So he's never really been held to account for that. According to publicly accessible records, Starmer would have owned this car and been using it at the time. The obvious question is, how far did the lockdown breaches go? And were any of the accused in contact with him at the time? And then you also have the enduring mystery of how, part of the major media Starmer mythos is that he is this incredible family man. And there was this absolutely astonishing article in The Guardian, which I drew attention to, which was written by Starmer's biographer. It talked about how the biographer was watching the election results come in while Starmer sat there watching on TV with his family, and apparently he hugged his wife very tight, and this made the biographer feel very hot because he realized that he was watching something very personal, very, very, very bizarre, kind of sexually tinged review of what was happening. Miss Keir Starmer has been entirely absent from public view for pretty much ever since Starmer entered Downing Street. And she was a core component of the, the Starmer mythos. Where's she gone? Why?